Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Today's message, the title is How to Grow Your Faith. How many need to have your faith increase? My question is, why hasn't it not been increasing? Do you understand the process of growing your faith? About the time we complain and think Jesus doesn't love us, he's actually put you in a situation to grow you up. Everything without faith is nothing but a ceremony. Yeah. Anything the Lord has left to the New Testament church in his word, you have to add faith. God wants a package with something in it. Will he find faith? The Chinese word for crisis means this, an opportunity on a fierce wind. Is that good or what? So as I was putting all this together, you know, I'm in crisis with my business because it's so good, and I'm I feel like my boss has actually put me in a no-win situation with some things. And as I was talking to the VP of sales, I said, you've put me in a no-win situation and I don't lose real well. She says, that's why we put you there. I'm like, oh, shut up. I mean, so she just preached this message back at me. So as I was, Lord, what are you doing? Because I'm trying to grow your faith. You have grown your faith. He said, did your faith grow when your wife said she was leaving you and I said she wouldn't? Well, that took faith because I didn't like her then. She didn't like me. That was faith in him, not her. Trust me. But did my faith grow in a crisis? Your faith will not grow unless I believe God puts you in over your head and the faith within you will have to come to the surface. The problem is if you're afraid of drowning, fear will be greater than faith. You'll shrink back instead of take position. Is this good? Okay, good. So my wife's kind of offended me a little bit the other night because I'm in attack mode. Susie is a Susie's a supernatural wet rester. She can chill. And the problem is I'm not a chiller. She comes into the house the other night. She goes, my chest hurts and it's your fault. You're sucking the oxygen out of the house. Well, I got to make stuff happen. And she's ripping me. And then she says, you're not normal. You work like a crazy man. You do it. Well, I'm trying to, my ox is in the ditch and I'm trying to make some hamburger, you know, and, but at the same time, So usually Susie's not wrong. She just, I don't want her to know that. Did you hear that? That was public confession. I'm sorry, baby. So what am I doing with the pressure? Is it me or is it him? And let's get real. It's us. I have to do my part, and he better do his part. And so to chill me down, I was a little upset with her. I felt like she felt like I was weird. And the accusation of a workaholic was coming back, and it was offending me. She really offended. She offended me much more than she knows because she went to sleep and didn't talk to me anymore. She has that supernatural. The house could be on fire. So, Lord, have you dealt with the workaholic thing on me? Am I working in faith? Am I taking more than I should? Am I not resting? Then I get the word from Kathy and Karen. I got beat up by Karen and Kathy, too, about rest. And it's just a God dang. So here's here's the statement from the Lord that stopped my cycle of self-talk. Y'all ever had that? You get offended, you start to self-talk. You know, she's calling me weird, but she sure has no problem spending that money. Did you see that purse she bought last week? You remember that purse? That I walked in with a nice purse the other day, and I went, where'd you get that? She goes, oh, I just, you make me look so good. I'm like, mm-hmm. So I'm sharing my personal journey with you, but here's the statement that made me feel okay, because I am a mover shaker. What is my motivation? Here's what the Lord said. Son, servants obey, friends try not to disappoint. I put you in this place, and you are a mover shaker. It's not because you're just an obedient servant. You're trying not to disappoint me. You're okay. I went, I am weird. I'm okay, though. I'm a leader. I make things happen. Servants only obey. Friends just don't want to disappoint him. And so he told me he's growing my faith. I'm like, don't you know I'm the senior pastor and I'm a prophet and I'm a this? And you're like, yeah, okay. How's that working out for you, Chuck? Go to Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Who's been offended lately? Good. It's time to grow. Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. It is impossible. In other words, if you're walking with Jesus, you are going to be offended. Because I believe God will offend your mind to expose your heart. Because if he can get your heart unoffendable, then he can make you a leader and a ruler. When offense comes, not if, when offense comes, how do you manage it? Does it rule you and make you back off? Or do you sit on the seat and rule it? It is impossible that no offense should come. But woe to him who it comes through. Oh, I like that sight. But the problem is, if I don't manage my offense, then I'll turn into bitterness, and it's not woe on you, it's woe on me. How you handle your offense determines whether you turn into get better or bitter. But it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. I read that, and the Lord says, by the way, you're one of the little ones in a lot of areas. Take heed of yourself, yourselves. Take heed yourselves, you know, the offended one. Take heed, the offended ones. They're talking about me. They're gossiping about me. Everybody in my industry is saying, how in the world did he get all that? And they're actually betting that I'm going to fail. I don't fail real. I'm just not good at failing. I'm sorry. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive. Are you kidding me? In other words, you're going to offend me. I'm going to confront your offense, because the offense is either going to confront me or I'm going to confront it. And if I have to confront it, I might have to confront you. Am I too afraid of you to preserve me? I was talking to my wife one day. We're talking about one of her friends is doing da-da-da-da. I said, well, have you told her that's wrong? Girls don't do that. Really? Oh, you guys are just fair weather friends. My friends, if they're stupid, we go parking lot and we prove you're stupid. Because friends don't want friends to be stupid. Susie's like, well, I'm not a confronter. Yeah, I know. Unless it's me. So you get offended. Your brother comes to you and says, forgive me. Seven times, do the math on that. It's impossible. Why would God allow you to be offended? He's trying to prove to you that he can give you faith to forgive. How do you want to grow? You want to grow your faith? Oh, you still want to grow. Everybody was raising their hands when you want to grow the faith. What are you doing with your offense? Yeah, they said this about me. They said that about me. They don't really believe in me. They don't have my best interest. I want to go where I'm celebrated. Oh, who gives a flying flip where you're celebrated? What are you doing with your offense? Number one, it's impossible that no offense has come. Number two, woe to the giver of the offense. Take heed to yourself. Be careful how you respond. Number four, keep in the position of forgiveness. And number five, Lord, what's the next verse? What's the next verse? And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Help, I need supernatural help. If I got to forgive this knucklehead that keeps offending me that many times in a day, I need an increase in faith. Why? Because it's supernatural for you to forgive someone who continues to offend you. And God is offending the snot out of people because he's trying to get them above what offends them. Amen. And if you're always offended, you're not a leader and you're not a ruler and you'll have no authority. Eventually we'll get to the point where your opinion of me really doesn't matter to me. Oh, that sounds arrogant. Oh, you're a pastor. No, not really. We figured that out a long time ago. They're staying away by the hundreds. It's just true. But I got people who do not like me, who will call me a couple times a year. I'm going to have a word. And the switch goes on and I can give them the answer to the question. And it's direct and it's blunt. And they hang up and never talk to me again. I thought, I like these people. I don't, they just call me and use me. But I don't have to go have dinner with them. I don't have to put up with them. I'm a rubber genie. It used to offend me until one of them wanted to be my friend, and now I had to put up with him. Actually, he is my friend now. He's probably watching. It was better when he didn't like me. But see, it used to offend me. Susie's like, I can't believe you talked to him. I wouldn't talk to them the way they treated you. Yeah, but you're not me, baby. I'm the prophet of the Lord. The switch goes on. You speak.
That's right.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Help, I need supernatural help. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and you say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Susie started quoting this scripture this morning, faith of the mustard seed. But let me tell you something. So the offense handled properly comes into mustard seed faith that can make things get uprooted. Forget pulling up by the roots. There's some things that aren't a tree that needs to be uprooted. Mindsets. Demonic strongholds. Demonic cultures. Listen, they need to be uprooted. And if you're offended by their lifestyle, you've lost your faith and your authority to uproot them. That's good preaching. Because you could never have God-given faith over something that you're unwilling to love, including the homosexual. Yeah. And Democrats. See, this parable about the mustard seed teaches us how to convert faith. Everybody has faith, but do you have power? How you handle your offense enables you to add faith, and it converts to power. Power to do what? Rule. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you can learn to forgive those that have offended you, add faith to it, which is love. Faith comes by love. Faith comes by hearing. And when you hear Jesus talk about the guy who's offended you, and God thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, you have a crisis. Do I repeat what God thinks about him or what I think about him? I prophesied over somebody one time. I didn't like the guy. I knew the guy. And it made me mad because God evidently had a different opinion than I did. And I prophesied to him. And I was mad. I was, I don't believe anything I said. And he goes, good. You weren't talking for yourself. You were talking for me. You're my voice, not yours. And I had to adjust my... God thinks some people are better than you think they are. But or have you been so offended by their appearance or so offended by their attitude that you can't even apply the faith to operate in your gift? Whether it's working in miracles, prophesying, discerning of spirits, they all come by faith. But we are so offended as a church, we gossip so much, we get so offended, we can't function in the holiness of God. Back to my notes. Verse 7, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes into the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drinking, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Favor isn't fair. Favor isn't fair. You know what isn't fair? You know, Stephanie and Ron work for me now. You know what isn't fair? They're going to work their butt off this week. You know what isn't fair? I'm going to Aruba. You know why? I'm the boss. Favor isn't fair. Favor isn't fair. When you've gone from obedient servant to friend of God, when you've gone from employee to employer, something shifts. The problem is our mentalities haven't. And we think, oh, I'm equal with you. You know, if Steffi come up, I'm equal with you. I'm writing myself a check. Yeah, try that. We're not equal. I'm the boss. She's not. And Susie's going, and I sign it. There's a different mentality from people who signed the front of the check versus people who signed the back of the check. That's good. Some people that signed the back of the check don't have enough intestinal fortitude or faith to walk through the process to get over their own offenses, to get over their own thing, and have God make them the entrepreneur, and then they bellyache about somebody who is. Afterward, you eat and drink. Does he think that servants, because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, with you, when you have done all these things which you have commanded, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. Doing what is expected is not a rewardable act. What if Stephanie came to me on Friday? She goes, you know, I showed up every day. I think I should have a raise. My dog shows up every day. That's expectable. We don't have a dog. We killed that dog. No. You know what I'm saying. Listen, doing what you are expected to do is not a rewardable act of promotion. But we as Christians go, I showed up to church twice this month. I should be rewarded. Don't you know, you should let me have the pulpit because I prophesy really, really good out in the streets. You serve nowhere. Come on. The problem is if you are really the friend of God, you know how to serve like God. Some of you are just a friend of the system and you can't figure out why you're not being promoted because this is a different system. Wow. How are you offended yet? Listen, bosses pay employees to be servants or subordinate workers. Come, let me serve you. No, you're there to serve me. You're there to serve your employer. Listen, if you are not adding increase to the job that you're on, you won't be there very long. But will he not first feed me, do his job, and then after he does it, what is expected, feed himself? Number three. Doing what is expected is not impressive. And doing what is expected is not a rewardable act. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe in he is. All he says, he said, all he says about himself. So believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder who diligently seek him. If you want to be rewarded by the King of Kings, seek the King. The problem with a lot of Christians, they seek the hand of God instead of the seat of God to learn how to be a king. Because when you hang around kings, you start acting like kings. When you hang around business entrepreneurs, you start thinking like a business entrepreneur. When you hang around smart people, you don't want to be dumb. And if you're hanging around really smart people, shut up and listen. I had a crazy week. I had my boss with me. I had a short week. Had my boss with my new regional. I pulled an account list. 309 accounts. I'm like, I need faith. I started looking at them all. Some of them are dead accounts. I'm down to 167 now. I sent that email at 12:30 last night. What am I saying? I'm above normal. I'm going to be real. I'm going to get my reward in Aruba on Wednesday. When you go above and beyond, you can expect a reward. I'm more than a conqueror. Did you want to preach? Come on. Did you understand what she just said? Come here. Let's do it. So. You know what? More than a conqueror's. Come here. Come here. I need some. Okay. All right. Come here. Come here. You know what it says? It says you are more than a conqueror, right? Here's the definition. Let's say this is my monthly paycheck, right? I go get my monthly paycheck. Because I worked all month and I conquered my monthly paycheck. I get into the house and I go, Susie, look how much money I made. I conquered the whole month. And then the more than conqueror goes, yum. See, I conquered the month. I conquered the month. She's more than, she didn't work like I worked. She just took what I did and owned it.
Come on.
That's more than a conqueror. Sure. She ate my paycheck. You got all those kids at your house, they're probably eating your paychecks. But what? See, we're more than a conqueror. Jesus did it all, did he not?
Yes.
He hands you his paycheck.
Yes, that's right.
That makes me more than a conqueror.
That's right.
The problem, it says, and many will be offended at the cross. Some of us don't want to share the gospel, and we wonder why we're not more than conqueror. I had a situation. I was with my boss all week. I knew I was dropping him off at 1:30 at the airport, and I have a situation with all new people, major accounts, big national builders, and I stepped right in it, and I'm like, this is the greatest introduction to new people in my life. To where I leave Orlando and drive to Tampa in the crazy traffic to sit down with all these people, and I'm going, God, I'm burned out. I'm this, I'm that. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, are you going to let me overshadow you, or are you just going to be overwhelmed? And so I got in my car and put on some worship music, finally got rid of my boss, and I could pray and, you know, talk to God. And am I going to be overwhelmed or be overshadowed? I'm like, God, just overshadow me. These people are major accounts. And then my distributor, it's his biggest account. And I'm right in the middle of a whole blah, blah. Somebody is getting pricing that shouldn't have, and da, da, da. Thank you, Jesus. I made the right call. I walk into the office. I'm sitting there. Thought, overwhelmed or overshadowed? Overwhelmed or overshadowed? So the president's there, his sister comes in, his brother comes in, big family business, 300 plus employees. and my direct distributor, been dealing business 10 years with him, big guy, don't know him. And everybody loves Sherry, who I replaced. I've been threatened 5 times. My life's been threatened because I took her job. And she was the best there was. And I was like, oh, this is great. You overshadowed or overwhelmed? You overshadowed or overwhelmed? I got to make some business decisions. I got to make some wisdom decisions. I feel Jesus walk in the room. It's not a good time for Jesus to walk in the room. See, here's the problem, though, is when he starts touching my heart, I start crying. You've seen me. I'm in a business meeting. I'm like, God, what are you doing? He says, welcome to being overshadowed. I'm like, Lord, this is a small office and I can't hide. So we're waiting on the purchasing guy that works for the company, Arnie. And we just said something. I don't even know, said something about a family business. I said, yeah. I said, we had a family business with my sons. I said, but me and my dad have been in the family business in a weird way. He goes, what's that? I said, I just put my dad in assisted living. I said, but I think he's more upset that he can't go and do the prison ministry because they won't let him come in with his cane. I said, she goes, how long has he been doing prisons ministry? I said, he started the ministry over 45 years ago, but he's been doing it consistently. And he goes, I'm a Christian. This guy opens up, talks about when he met Christ. He was a drug addict. He was this. His family that was there took him to rehab in Jacksonville. And he stood up, and this African-American preacher preached the gospel. He stood up and he said, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior. He washed away my sins and filled me with his spirit. Well, this business meeting just turned into church. And we had a crisis on our hand. How are we going to do that? But I said, man, he goes, so I told him that, you know, I'm a pastor. The whole nine, I told him a couple of Jesus walking through the wall stories. That went over well. Come up, a couple Baptist guys in the back. Here's the difference between overwhelmed and overshadowed. I got in my car and I said, God, that was crazy. That was crazy. I said, what just happened in there? He says, when you're overshadowed, you're tender toward me. When they saw your tears, they saw me. I was crying about my dad. The anointing was there. Broke down all their barriers. And they saw the pastoral side of me, which some of you have never seen. No. But the whole thing changed. So I'm heading back out of all this traffic, trying to get back home from Tampa. And the lady I replaced called me. She goes, "What the heck happened at that meeting today? Chris called me and said that he's been doing business with him for 10 or 12 years and heard stuff from the owner that he had never heard, didn't even know he was a Christian. Been doing business with him for over 10 years. She's like, "Holy moly, I told him that you were weird." I'm like, "My wife just said that." A few minutes later, this guy calls me and he goes, "Dude, I heard stuff out of his. He's always been hard. He goes, I learned stuff about this man I've been doing business with for years. You know, we sponsor all the golfing tournaments. We do." He says, "I called my boss at 4:45 on a Friday afternoon. The first thing he says, 'This better not be a problem at 4:45 on a Friday.' He goes, 'No, I had the best meeting ever. Ever.'" And he told him the whole thing. Then he says to me, he says, "You know, I think what I got out of this." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I think your mom and my mom are probably in heaven and I'm in trouble now." I said, "You had a praying mom?" "Yeah." What's the difference? Overwhelmed or overshadowed? Are you offended or are you in faith? Has unforgiveness blocked your ability to uproot things? Mark chapter 11, verses 23-24. You can have whatever you say. And if you say it with no unforgiveness, you can speak to that mountain and it shall be removed. If you forgive. And you won't forgive because it started with an offense. And you didn't get enough faith to get over your offense, and therefore you have no power to rule. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." "Wow, God, what are you saying?" He said, "Son, when you choose to be overshadowed versus overwhelmed, that is a sacrifice, and I always bring my fire to the sacrifice." He said, "You know what changed that meeting?" I said, "What, Lord?" "You had enough faith to let me make you cry in front of those men." I said, "God, can I tell you, I've been really wrung around, strung. I didn't have a choice. I just think I needed to cry." I'm driving down I-75 and I'm crying. Because of his goodness. I'm crying because I couldn't do that. I'm crying because I'm not all that good, but I chose to be overshadowed. Amen. Then somebody called me and complained, "I don't like your church. This church is doing this." I'm like, "Hey, dude, I don't care." Goodbye. Go meet Jesus. I realized the pastoral thing is some of my elders need to start pastoring. Tell these people to leave me alone. You notice my humor kicks in when I don't want to cry. So how do you grow your faith? Deal with your offenses. Ask God to increase your faith so you can forgive what has offended you and who has offended you. And turn that into power to win them. The Lord said to me, "The mandate I put on you, I want you to start putting on the prophets that claim to be prophets around you." Years ago, the Lord said to me, if you're a real prophet of mine, I will give you the inside track to win your enemies. The wannabe prophets will live off their off a positional anointing instead of the relational anointing from me. Which ones do you want? You want prophets in the house? You want my prophets? So if you think you're a prophet, my first question to you is going to be this. How many of your critics, enemies, or those who have gossiped about you, lied about you, have you won and are now in covenant relationship with? If you do not have any, you're a wannabe and unusable in the next season that's coming, because you will become offendable, and God cannot put you into place for him to overshadow you. It's making sense. Rodney, were you my enemy at one time, basically? Didn't like me, didn't trust me. I don't want a raise of hands in here. That was just... yeah, where... Some of you, I just don't need to know. It's like the mom, the lady comes in there, it's time to get up and go to church. I don't want to go to church. Those people don't like me anymore. You got to go. You're the pastor. <You know? laughs> They don't like me no more. Listen, did you get the practicality out of this today?
Yes.
So how are you going to present yourself to the Holy Spirit to grow your faith? It's up to you. Some of you will never win your enemy because you don't even pray for him. Got a whole nother section about eight different baptisms being overshadowed. You want to go there?
Sure.
Or you want to go home?
No, let's go.
All right. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Some of you think, oh, I'm holy. No, that's the beginning. He doesn't reward what's the requirement. Jesus is my master, and I am the servant. What I have done, what is expected of me, faithful servant, have I prepared a table for my master to eat from? Have I brought what he likes to feed on? The proper sacrifice. Some of you keep bringing your good accolades as a sacrifice of your effort, and what he really wants is your unforgiveness towards your spouse. You keep feeding him something he really doesn't want to eat, because he already knows what he's called you to be. He wants what you are unwilling to forgive. He wants to eat the offense of your ex, the offense of someone who's lied about you, the offense that someone has trashed you. He wants you to feed him that so he can empower you for your purpose to reign and rule. What are you feeding him? Your delicacy or his? That's good. I gotta write that down. Once he is eaten, then I get to eat from the table that he sets for me. See, we want Jesus to set us at his table and feed us. When he says, no, you feed me your stuff first, then I'll let you come dine with me. So in other words, the appetizer is your unforgiveness and your bitterness and your hatred. That's his appetizer. The main course is, let me show you what grace tastes like. Let me show you what mercy tastes like. Let me show you what favor isn't fair. Let me tell you what everybody can be against you, but as long as I'm not, you'll win. Now that's what he wants to eat. That's what he wants to feed us. But we don't give him the right appetizer. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, I leave the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. The beginning. Let us go on to the perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, not in God, faith toward God. Some of you have faith toward God. Most of you don't have faith in God. Verse 2, of the doctrines of baptisms, say baptisms. Lots of submersion, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do if God permits. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. And 5. And have tasted the good word of God and powers of age to come. If we fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Listen, when you won't forgive and you get offended, you're telling Jesus what he did wasn't good enough and you're putting him back up there and you're making him the sacrifice when he said it was finished. And the problem is we won't give him what he wants. The 8 different baptisms. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, the cloud and the sea of baptism. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Verse 2, we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, but for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There's a baptism that goes through when you're trying to separate from your old master and trust the new master in the area of provision, in the area of being in God. Listen, you're going to have to figure that out. You're going to have to be baptized with the same water that came out of the rock. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. God, Jesus' baptism of repentance. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Have you been submerged in repentance? It's called a lifestyle of repentance. I went through a season where I had to repent for every. I'd say hi, and someone would be offended. I'm sorry for saying hi. The way you didn't like it. My Lord was not. But he was teaching me that a lifestyle of repentance is an open door to grace.
Amen.
Matthew 3, verse 13 and 15. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of who? Of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Ha, listen, you got to understand something. You think you're all that in a bag of chips, but you won't submit to earthly leadership? I don't care if you do outrank me. I'm still in charge here. God put me here. Well, I'll live or die, whether you do or not, by what he says or what he allows. He's going to put an anointing on me. Some people have figured that they outrank me. You might out there, but you don't hear. Jesus said, John, I need you to baptize me. John goes, I know who you are. Are you kidding me? No, son, I put you in the position of authority, and I will submit to the authority I put in position. If Jesus can submit to authority that he outranked, so can you. The problem is you don't have enough savvy to lead from underneath. That was good. Where was I? Then come Jesus to Galilee, to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? Big question. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it now. So, suffer it to be so now. For thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him to fulfill all righteousness.
What are you saying here, God? Are you saying Jesus, all of God, came in the form of man, all of God
submitted to the position of man that God put him in. Jesus said, hey, John, my dad said, you're the greatest of all prophets. I need you to baptize me. John goes, I know who you are. You outrank me. Not yet, son. Until I do, I submit. Will you baptize me? You getting that? Luke 12:50, John baptism unto death. Jesus' baptism to death. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now I am straightway to be accomplished. Jesus had to completely be submerged in death so that when he rose again, he had all of the attributes and owned them. He had to get the keys back. Listen, if you look at the scientists, if the scientist said that blood actually screams, blood screams for 3 days. Blood has life for 3 days. Why do you think Jesus was in the grave 3 days? So some scientist down the road couldn't say he really wasn't dead. He was dead. He was starting to stink. He suffered it. Good message. People should stay and listen. So he was baptized, he was submerged, he was overshadowed by the death. Why? Because when he came out and he broke the keys of it, he owned it all. Luke 24:47, the spirit of baptism. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. 1 Corinthians 15:29, martyrism, baptism of death. That you shall do which are baptized to death, if the death arise not at all. Why are they all baptized for death? Listen, I think I got a scripture mixed up there, but we'll just leave it there. Send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Some of you have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an infilling. You haven't positioned yourself for it to have the Spirit fall on you, overshadow you. I think we all have it sometimes, but the Spirit rested on Jesus. It abode. It said it stayed. I've had enough of it to know it's there, to know it's gone. What am I doing that it comes and goes? Not here. I'm talking about here. Then you got baptism of fire. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. We baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Some of you have tasted the water. Some of you don't know why you had the water, because you haven't given anything to be burnt. It's a consuming fire. It's a cleansing fire. Wendy actually gave me some of that. We're going through a purifying fire today. Part of her prophetic word this morning. Some of you have resisted the fire and don't know why you're not holy. You resisted being burnt by God. You resisted giving him what he wants so he can make you into who you're supposed to be. Acts 2:38. Pentecostal baptism. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism by the Holy Spirit into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Okay, now we're talking unity. This is where this being offended stuff works. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have made all made to drink into one Spirit. So my question to you, what kind of table did you set before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or did you just come sit and expecting him to feed you? Stand to your feet.
The Lord has cooked up a good meal today. And I'm telling you that there's keys to grow your faith in this message. There's keys to reposition yourself from a servant to a friend that learns how to serve because of friendship, not rules and regulations. That's when the power comes. That's when the favor comes. That's when the increase comes. Started in the prayer room. Sink or swim. No, I'm going to walk on water. See, Peter said it this way. At thy word, and he got out of the boat. Some of you don't spend enough time with him to get a word to get out of the boat. You want some prophet to tell you instead of Jesus himself.
Oh, I need a word.
No, you need to go pray. By the way, what'd you do with the last three words you got? Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, teach me to work in another man's garden. Increase my faith.
Increase my faith.
To have my own garden.
To have my own garden.
That grows what you want me to grow.
That grows what you want me to grow.
That pleases you.
That pleases you.
That I can set the table.
And
dine with you.
And dine with you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.